The word of God given to us today is Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 30. Allow me to read the words of God. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. It was a Sabbath on the day Jesus healed a man who could not walk for 38 years at the pool called Bethesda near the Sheep Gate in Jerusalem. Jesus was persecuted by the Jews for healing a man on a Sabbath. Jesus told the Jews that he was working because his Father is always at work. But the Jews could not accept that Jesus was referring to God as his Father and that he regarded himself equal to God. They plotted to kill Jesus for working on the Sabbath and for calling God his Father. After this incident, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a large crowd followed him. The people who saw Jesus healing the sick wanted to make him king. They thought Jesus, who was performing these miracles, would be able to fend off the Romans and liberate them. They also saw him fit as the hero who had set up a unified country like David. The people wanted Jesus to become the Messiah that would meet their expectations, but Jesus just kept going his way. Seeing a large crowd gather, Jesus regarded them as sheep without a shepherd and had pity on them. So he asked his disciple Philip where they could get bread to feed the crowd. To this question, Philip answers, "Even if they bought 200 denarius worth of bread, it wouldn't be enough to feed all of the people." But Jesus' disciple Andrew says, "Here is a boy with 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 fish." Philip responded in a way people of this world would think, where they would get the money to buy the bread to feed all of the people who would contribute that much money, and even if they did so, that there would hardly be enough bread to eat. But Jesus showed God's working through the small portion of food that the boy handed to him. It is funny the way God works. He does not work alone and works with us and wants to work with us. God works in diverse ways. God especially works with people who are willing to share their time, talent, and wealth with others. Jesus offered a prayer of thanksgiving after receiving the boy's food. And he made the people sit on the grass and told his disciples to hand out the food to them. The people who were provided bread and fish could eat as much as they wanted. And the Gospels record that there were 12 baskets of leftover food. The boy's small portion of food enabled the miracle of the great crowd eating sufficiently. Judas Iscariot also saw at the site the leftover food, after a crowd of at least 5,000 men ate from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But he was unable to let go of his thoughts even after witnessing that there were 12 baskets of food remaining. He forewent the opportunity the Lord provided him with to change his mind. Judas Iscariot needed to think about when he made up his mind to hand over his teacher and whether this was the right direction. Right decision. As Jesus prayed, he chose Judas Iscariot along with his other disciples. Among his disciples was Matthew, who was a tax collector. But Jesus made Judas in charge of money because he and his capabilities were trusted. Judas also received the teachings of Jesus every day like the other disciples. But Jesus knew that something was brewing in his mind. When something happens, in most cases, there is a sign before the event unfolds. There aren't many records of Judas in the Bible, but we can presume that he showed signs that he would betray Jesus. He may have started rebelling against Jesus' teachings. He may have become reluctant to spread the gospel, or may have stopped wanting to pray or create conflict with other disciples, or started complaining. Or he may have become proud of his spiritual growth. Other disciples didn't know that Judas was pretending to be holy, but that his heart was filled with hypocrisy and greed. But Jesus knew, even before Judas expressed his disapproval for Mary, who poured expensive nard on Jesus' feet. There was a time when the crowd that followed Jesus left him. At the time, Jesus asked his 12 disciples whether they would also leave. Simon Peter replied, "You have the words of eternal life. Lord, to whom shall we go?" Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 70, "Then Jesus replied, 'Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil.'" Jesus knew how Judas Iscariot felt. So he said at the Passover dinner that one of the disciples would betray him, and said the one who places his hand in the bowl with him would betray him. He said the person would be doomed and that it was better that he had not been born. At these moments, Judas should have felt fear and repented, but he chose not to, when he instead asked Jesus whether the one betraying him would not be himself. Jesus said, "It is he who spoke." Even then, Judas decided not to repent. This is an incident that took place after the Israelites, who had completed their journey in the wilderness, entered Canaan. God made the Israelites put all the spoils of war from taking over Jericho in the storage of God. God did not allow the Israelites to take the spoils of war because it was the first war they had fought in Canaan. But Achan ignored God's order and stole the things that were meant to be offered to God. He hid a beautiful Babylonian robe, 200 shekels of silver, and gold weighing 50 shekels. Achan stole these items and hid them, but God knew. And he told Joshua to find the person who had stolen. As God ordered, Joshua called the heads of the 12 tribes and made them draw lots. As a result, the tribe of Judah, the clan of Achan, and the family of Achan, and finally Achan, was taken by the Lord. God knew that Achan was the one who stole, but did not let Joshua know and instead made the people cast lots. Why was this so? It was to provide Achan a chance to repent. Every time his tribe, clan, and family was picked, Achan should have taken this as a sign of warning from God. But he kept questioning whether he would be revealed and lost his chance to repent. As a result of him not confessing his sin, not only Achan, but also his innocent family members and relatives were stoned to death. And all of Achan's possessions were burnt into ashes. David committed adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, who was fighting in a battle. When Bathsheba became pregnant, David called Uriah, who was in a battle, and sent him home in an attempt to cover up his sin. This is 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 7 to 8. When Uriah came to him, David asked him how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. When David sent Uriah home, he even provided him with food from the palace. David hoped to cover up his sin by making Uriah sleep with his wife. But contrary to David's plan, Uriah did not go home and slept at the entrance to the palace with all his master's servants. We're able to know that Uriah was faithful to his duties. When things did not play out the way he had planned, David again sent Uriah home after making him drink. But Uriah did not go home this time either. David had been a person of God who did not lose his conscience and virtue. But he didn't think of repenting his sin after committing adultery with another man's wife. Instead, he tried to cover up his sin by having Uriah killed, by placing him at the forefront of the battle. How would David have felt after hearing that Uriah died in the battle? He would have thought that he finally covered up his sin. But God knew every deed of David. Like Proverbs chapter 6, verse 29 says, "No one who touches her will go unpunished." God knew how he destroyed a family and how and what he did to try and cover up his sin. David only realized his sin after being rebuked by the prophet Nathan. Achan, who forewent his opportunity to repent, became responsible for not only his death, but also the death of his family and relatives. David, who also failed to repent, was repaid for his sins through the atrocities of his children. Judas Iscariot, who received the grace of Jesus as his disciples, as his disciple during Jesus' public life, also forewent the opportunity to repent that the Lord had provided him. His heart was ready to take in the thoughts of the devil. He closed the doors of his heart that were directed at God, and instead opened the doors of his heart to Satan. The Apostle Paul confessed the following in Romans. This is chapter 7, verses 24 to 25. "What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. As the Apostle Paul confessed that while his heart is serving God's law physically, he is serving the law of sin. We also have two wills. One is the will to serve God, and the other to serve the world. The will to serve the world is the will that the devil uses to his liking. Just because one is a Christian doesn't mean we only serve God. Some Christians may faithfully serve only God. Some Christians serve both God and the world. Some Christians serve God for some time and then serve the world. Which type do you belong to? We may be able to hide from others our true will, but God knows our hearts. And He has allowed us to make the decision. Our hearts will live by training ourselves to be vigilant every moment, to be aware of where our hearts are directed and where our gazes are fixed on, will guide us to be able to serve our God. A person who is trained to take necessary action at times of natural disasters such as fires, earthquakes, or floods are able to save not only themselves but also the lives of those at risk. Trained detection dogs are able to detect drugs that are hidden in all sorts of ways. When we train ourselves to choose to follow God's law every moment of our lives, we will be able to live lives free of shame and regret. Our Lord became the Passover lamb for us who are like Achan, who regarded material possessions more important than God. Our Lord became the Passover lamb for us who insist on our own ways, like Judas Iscariot, who gave in to greed. Our Lord became the Passover lamb to save us who are like David, who was caught up in the needs of the flesh. Jesus had his last meal on earth by holding a communion where he shared bread and wine, symbolizing his body and blood with his disciples. Let's look at verses 26 through 28. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus, the Lord, ate his final Passover meal on earth, knowing that his final ministry on earth was approaching, and he held a communion as he broke bread with his disciples. The bread symbolizes the body of Jesus who suffered on the cross, and the wine symbolizes the blood that flowed from his body. This not only symbolizes Jesus' bleeding and death, he says this is to forgive the sins of people. People who lived in the era of the Old Testament made pledges with each other by scattering the blood of animals. This was supposed to mean that they faithfully keep their promise because this was made by blood. But the Israelites using animals as a sacrifice of atonement was in incomplete form. Jesus is a new, complete, and eternal covenant that was made between God and people by Jesus becoming a sacrifice of atonement. The blood of Jesus is the eternal and complete covenant, the only new covenant which the prophets of the Old Testament prophesied. The new covenant is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins, according to verse 28. The word many in this verse means all, according to the Hebrew idiom. Jesus' work of salvation is not for a certain group of people, but for all people of this world. Our Lord became a sacrifice of atonement for all the people of this world, but the Lord's shedding of blood does not lead to the salvation of the entire humanity. This is not because the new covenant is flawed or incomplete, but because there are people who reject and abandon the salvation, like Achan or Judas. The people who heard Jesus say, "My house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers," were not people that were outside of the temple. We must remember that these were people that were inside the temple. "5,000 men, excluding women and children, ate sufficiently from the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish at the field." When calculating one family as having 2 children, we can presume that there were around 20,000 people there. All of the 20,000 people were able to take part in an abundant fellowship by the dinner that the Lord prepared for them. The people who were there were fed a meal by the Lord that evening. But the bread that Jesus breaks as his body and the wine symbolizing his blood are a holy communion that goes beyond one meal and leads to eternity. And starting with this communion, the salvation work of Jesus Christ was expanded to the entirety of humanity and beyond the land of the Jews. Jesus parted with his disciples and left this world, and by doing so, he began his work for the entire humanity. Since then, the qualification for taking part in the communion that Jesus prepared for humanity is faith. It is believing that Jesus Christ took the burden of my sins by suffering and shedding blood on the cross. It is believing that Jesus exempted us from sin, forgave our sin, and liberated us who are tied to sin. This belief will guide us to the life of a person who owns eternal life. Are you struggling to sleep due to worries, fear, concern, and despair? This is a good time to check whether our faith is complete toward God. A few days ago, I received this text from a member of the church. "Our Father in heaven, how much have we blurted out that you would have us live covering our mouths with masks? How much did we fight and hate each other that you made us distance ourselves from each other? How many bad things did we do with our hands that you made us wash our hands and use sanitizers wherever we go? How bad-tempered were we so that you made us check our temperatures wherever we go? How secretively did we live so that you make us write down our contact number wherever we go? We will repent and lead a good life. Please take your anger from us and guide us to a world with mercy and love. We may go insane from living like this." This was supposed to be a funny text, but it leaves us thinking. We may think we have faith, but if we're struggling to sleep at night due to worries, fear, concern, and despair from the circumstances laid before us, we should think whether our confessions of faith are true confessions of faith. Yi Yongmi, a member of our church, was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease 6 years ago when she was in her late 50s. And continues to battle the disease. She released a book in March which compiled posts she uploaded on Facebook since the early stage of the disease in January 2016 to August 2018, along with other records and photos. Her friend did this for her ill friend. The book's title is Do You Want to Lie Down? Do you want to stand up? Are you okay? Let's eat. These are words that Lee hears from her family members every day since she developed the disease. Now she's living without being able to move any of her limbs. But in January 2018, she wrote this post. Don't you have resentment? Toward whom? God? No. How? If I didn't have God amid my struggles, what would I be? Nothing. I would simply go to my grave when I die. So it is fortunate that God exists. It is not something to resent God for. I just want to know why. I want to ask him later when I meet him what meaning my developing of this disease has. The next post was written by Lee, using a keyboard provided by the hospital. Her son wrote the post by pointing to vowels and consonants with his finger, and Lee blinking when he pointed to the right ones. This post is the last chapter of her book with the explanation, like a greeting sent to dearly missed friends. My body has almost entirely stopped moving. It is long ago since the last tremble of a muscle disappeared like the string of an instrument snaps. I have been trapped inside my body. I have spent a time of hard suffering up until now. But because the Lord, who knows the beginning and end of this journey, is with me, I have no resentment, fear, or regret. All the things I thought were mine, I realize that not even my body belongs to me. I pray that during the time I have left, that I live this free spirit even though my body is unable to move. Live in purity and peace like a baby in swaddling clothes. I'd like to thank those who are helping me and tell them I'm sorry and that I love them. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the end of the post. Lee is unable to do anything on her own. She does not know when she will go to heaven. But she confesses, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I am envious of her faith. Her faith is noble. The circumstances before us make us worry, have fear, and have concerns. But God, who has made us live in these circumstances, is with us. I hope that we live being with God today, and live a life of being with God. And on that day, we take part in the communion, offer our confession of faith to God, who has achieved the new covenant with his flesh and blood. Let us pray. Our holy God, you achieved the new covenant by sending your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer on the cross and shed blood for us, to give eternal life to us who could only die. You provided us with infinite love that we cannot express with human language. But we still live in worry, anxiety, and concern before changing circumstances. Forgive us. Forgive our faithlessness. Let us reflect on ourselves, whether it is not our weakness of becoming captive to wealth, greed, and lust that is making us worry and be anxious and concerned. When you knock on the door to our heart, let us not choose the law of sin over you like Judas Iscariot. Let us live today and tomorrow with faith that you have saved, us with Jesus Christ's blood, and that you will take care of our lives beyond death. We are worn out by the difficulties caused by the coronavirus pandemic and the heat, but let this be a time at which we develop greater faith and love towards you who is with us. Let us look around to the people who need encouragement and comfort, and let us find places where we can share and serve, so that the spheres of our lives become places of communion that you provided us with. In Jesus' name we pray.